7 o'clock, Sports Radio 94, WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley behind the glass. You guys with us. 215-592-9494 gets you aboard on this Wednesday night, the night before a game. We don't usually ever get to talk the night before a game. What's the vibe like Saturday nights on WIP? Because that's what this is like the equivalent of. It's like a Saturday.
Usually Paul Jolovitz is here.
Yes. Jolly time, 10 o'clock. That, you know, I didn't do it right because if I was doing a Jolly time impersonation, I would have to be like, you know, whoever's the first caller is leading off and playing center field.
It's kind of crazy. His leadoff hitters are always playing center field. Like, you never get a shortstop or a second baseman there.
Or something exotic like a catcher.
Yeah, there's no Jason Kendall
catching
in Jolly's lineups.
Andrew Knapp leading off. Gabe did that once. Remember that when Andrew Knapp was a leadoff hitter?
And that guy's going to win the World Series?
He might. Game 5 tomorrow night. All right. So we'll keep the Jalen Hurts conversation going. All your phone calls coming up here. I think we've got to the point where we're too critical of Jalen Hurts early in his career. 9 starts in. Every throw he misses, doesn't make, inaccurate, whatever it is. It's a referendum on, can this guy win the Super Bowl? Well, the reality is most quarterbacks that win the Super Bowl, you have no idea that guy's good enough to win the Super Bowl 9 starts in. You like some things. You don't like some things. He sees some traits. And with Jalen Hurts, I like a lot of his traits. Mobility. His touch when he is accurate. That's why I compared him to Nick Foles earlier, that his accuracy is either hot, red hot or ice cold, but when it's on, it's on. The throw to Quez on Sunday was a good throw. His leadership, it's all there. I like Jalen Hurts, and I'm excited to watch him grow, but the way people talk about the things he can't do as if he can't ever get better, it's remarkable. That's not the way development works with quarterbacks. So we'll keep that conversation going. I also want to hit on the game tomorrow night, and I need to know if you guys think I'm crazy or not. Obviously, our last caller thinks I'm crazy because of our little debate there about Dak and Wentz. But I think the Eagles have a chance to win this game tomorrow night. I don't feel as strongly. I'd be lying if I came on here and said I felt as strongly as I did before the Atlanta game. I said they were going to win. Last Friday, I said they were going to win. Some people around here told me I was crazy about the Eagles winning that game in Carolina. I don't feel that way. But I do think there's a real chance they can upset the Bucs tomorrow. The Eagles have some things going for them. Look at the injury report. Tampa Bay is way more banged up. No Lavonte David tomorrow night. No Rob Gronkowski tomorrow night. No Antoine Winfield tomorrow night. That's three of their best players not playing tomorrow night. Tom Brady, I don't exactly know what the heck's going on with his thumb, but something's going on because I heard this morning that he had it in ice during the game on Sunday. Like, he was putting his hand in a bucket of ice water in between series. So he's banged up on his throwing hand. We'll see how much it affects him. It didn't affect him much during that game. They blew the doors off the Dolphins, but Tom Brady's not 1,000%. They are missing 3 significant starters. Eagles are only missing one, and that'd be Lane Johnson. And really, I'd argue they haven't missed Lane Johnson much the last 2 weeks. I think, you know, I feel like Andre Dillard is the least talked about bright spot of the last 2 weeks. He's played pretty well.
He's the only left tackle in football this year to not allow a sack or a quarterback hit.
Wow. Obviously, he's played, what, 2 games?
I think he has 200 snaps.
Okay. So, yeah.
He's played 2.5.
Right, 2.5 games. Actually, he's in 3 because he started the Dallas game. 3.
3. Yeah, you're right. Because he started 2 for Mailata, and then Mailata came back.
Right.
So, 3.
Right. So, yeah, and then 1 because Lane was out. So, 3 games for Dillard. No sacks a lot. He's played well. I don't think the team right now misses Lane Johnson that much. So, the injury thing is way worse for the Bucs. Eagles get to be at home. Not that it's a gigantic deal, but they get to be at home. Tampa Bay has to travel in a short week. And I think the Eagles and the way they play, the way Nick Sirianni calls it, it actually matches well up against the Bucs. Nobody can run on the Bucs. Here's the good thing. Eagles won't try to run anyway. It's not like the Eagles are going to line up and try to run tomorrow night. They haven't done it all year. The Bucs have just a front wall you can't run on with Vita Vea and JPP and those guys. You can't run on them. But you can throw on them. I mean, the Buccaneers signed Richard Sherman off the street 3 weeks ago. That's how decimated their secondary and their corner situation is. I think it all sets up for the Eagles a real chance to be in that game tomorrow night. I would not be floored if the Eagles won. I wouldn't. I would take them +7. I think the Eagles have a real chance at an upset tomorrow night. 215-592-9494. Am I onto something or am I crazy? What do you think?
I think you're crazy. I mean, I get the premise, mm-hmm. but when I look at the Buccaneers' offense, like, can the Eagles really cover Antonio Brown, Mike Evans, and Chris Godwin?
If Tom Brady has time, the answer to your question is obviously not. I will say, before you go on, Javon Hargrave, like, the one thing that's given Brady trouble in his career, and not much does, it's pressure up the middle, right? It's that don't blitz, the front four, but especially right in his face.
Well, you don't have to ask Jonathan Gannon not to blitz.
Well, that's true. But Javon, the way Javon Hargrave is playing, he might be able to make some plays there.
That's true, but I also look at, you know, the reason the Eagles really were able to just, you know, keep their foot on the throat of the Carolina Panthers last week was Sam Darnold was atrocious.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Darnold struggled on short passes. I think he averaged something like 4.4 yards per attempt on short passes. And if you look at what Tom Brady's done this year, I mean, I think back to their Super Bowl win over the Seahawks, where he pretty much decided, okay, if you're going to give me 6 or 7 yards, I'll take it and I'll march it down the field. I'll have 15 play drives. I don't care. And if you look at what he's done this year, I mean, he's 64 or 75 on short passes. He's 39 of 43 on passes behind the line of scrimmage. He's got 9 touchdowns, 0 interceptions on those throws. I mean,
pretty good.
He's more than willing. If you're just going to say, we're going to take away the deep passes, beat us underneath. I mean, he did that his last 10 years in New England. I don't think he'd have a problem with it.
No, he wouldn't. 215-592-9494. Jalen Hurts, are we too critical of a quarterback in his ninth start? I think we are. And are you with me? Eagles have a chance at an upset tomorrow night. Tucker thinks I'm crazy. I don't. It's my idea. I'm obviously not crazy. Let's talk to Sean, who's in Florida. Hey, Sean.
My man. What's up, man?
How you doing, Sean? What's up, buddy?
Oh, not much. That last caller was pretty delusional, man.
Oh, he's crazy. Totally crazy. I mean, it's amazing.
But, hey, you know, honestly, Joe, Tucker, you guys know my point of view with Jalen already. You've done a great job pretty much covering it in the hour that I've been listening. So I don't really have nothing really left to add with the whole Jalen Hurts thing. But I do have to touch on Ben Simmons and yeah, and also don't let me go until I hit on Isaiah Joe as well.
Just okay.
Gotta, but here's the thing with Ben Simmons, right? I think what we need to do is not let him play, because after watching preseason, and I know it's only preseason, I'm very excited about this team right now. And having Ben Simmons there will really mess things up. I don't know if you saw in those preseason games, but it's like what I could see for sure was Joel Embiid posting up in the center, and everybody else around him was at the 3-point line, and he had space to operate. And then when they did send a double team his way, it had to come from far. You know, it was right strong side, and it was easy for him to make a decision. Damian Lillard, hear me out, right? He is the top choice at the end of the day. But let's say if we can't get him and we hypothetically have to settle, I think D'Angelo Russell would be a great option, along with maybe another player if you could add him. But hear me out. Okay, D'Angelo Russell, he brings so much to the table. We have some experience, actually, because we played the Nets in the first round. I think D'Angelo Russell averaged 27 in that series, and he actually is a true all-star, unlike Ben Simmons. You know, although it was one time, he deserved to be an all-star. And I think he came off of an injury last year. So, and then here's the thing. He'll bring something to the table that Damian Lillard won't. Being a point guard and actually being a playmaker, I've never seen Damian Lillard average over 5 assists.
Well, he scored. I mean, he's there. I mean, he's going to drop 40 points, right? He's not the kind of point guard. And Sean, it's interesting. The Russell thing could come back up. But Sean, you know, as a priest to call, and I know you want to hit on Isaiah Joe. We'll have time for that. We have the Sixers coming up next week, with or without Ben Simmons, who did apparently Ben was at. We're going to talk to Kyle Newbeck later on the show. He'll give us the latest on Ben. Ben was around today, but I saw one report his teammates hadn't actually talked to him yet. This is going smoothly.
It's like a ghost.
I'm here, but I'm not.
I'm here, but I'm like hiding in the training room in the broom closet, so I don't have to meet Joel Embiid.
Yeah, it's total. We did the Seinfeld bit last night where George basically quit, and then he came back to work on Monday trying to pretend it never happened. There was the other one, I think, where he worked at Play Now.
It was after he got fired from the Yankees.
Yes, he worked at Play Now, and he had a contract. They didn't want him there anymore. So
he pretended to be handicapped?
To get a use on his own personal bathroom, I
yes.
believe. Yes, and they found out, and they tried to axe him. But he had a contract, so they couldn't really fire him, so everyone hated him, but he showed up and just tried to hide in his office all day and collect his paycheck. That's kind of what we're doing right now with Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons going full George Costanza was not something I saw coming 6 months ago.
No, not even close.
So what's next? What Costanza bit is he going to do next?
I don't know. There's so many good ones to choose from.
He's going to sit out an entire season in a block of cheese the size
of
a car battery?
You know what he should do? He should do the opposite of whatever he thinks he should do on the basketball court.
Well, then shoot.
Honestly, I think the Sixers would benefit from that.
You know what? That might be it. The next episode of Ben Simmons as George Costanza, the opposite. Let's go to Paul in California. What's up, Paul?
Hey, Joe. Nice to catch up with you.
You too, Paul. What's up tonight?
Well, I mean, I was pretty solid when talking about Hurts with you, but there's been a lot of stuff going on. I will say this. If you're a true Eagles fan, not of course you are, but, you know, I mean, in general, you got to root for Wentz to stay healthy.
Of course.
That's the key.
Yes.
That's the key.
First round
and
pick, yeah.
Healthy, right. It's beautiful. And they keep losing. It's even better. But, I mean, I don't want to get into discussion about who's the Wentz. I mean, it's so irrelevant. But I think what is important is talking about what's going on with these drops, Joe. I'm watching one of my favorite all-time Eagles, Zach Hurts, dropping passes that he never would have dropped ever. And I even noticed that the other big guy, Dallas Goedert, he dropped a couple. What's your read on that? I don't know what it is. And of course, the big issue, and you've talked about this, the penalties are, who do you blame for the penalties, Joe? I really want to hear your perspective.
Yeah,
so
Paul, that's a great question. I think each kind of penalty is probably a different. That I think, you know, when it's Derek Barnett and it's a roughing the passer or it's a late hit, I think that's just him being he's over aggressive. He's a bonehead at times. He's just, you know, he's a dope sometimes. I think he's talented, but he's not a very smart player. But I do, Paul, blame all those pick plays they keep getting the penalties on and the illegal man down the field. I blame that on coaching. I blame that on Sirianni. Like, he's got to coach it better. Those are timing plays. And if they don't have the timing down correctly, they're going to be penalties. Like, they've got to get that stuff down to the T in practice. Otherwise, he shouldn't call those plays in games.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, and talking, you know, that's a good segue into play calling in general with the Eagles, which, of course, you've touched on quite a bit. But it's not improving, and that is a big concern to me. And I don't know what the answer is to that either. I mean, what do we just say, oh, this season, just let these guys learn how to do things? Is that what this is supposed to be? If it is, it's a little disappointing if you're a fan. They got some decent players. If their defense plays anything like it played last week, I think you're right. They have a shot tomorrow, but it's a big if because I haven't seen the defense play like that this season until the last game. Have you?
No. I mean, they played well in week one, and they won that game, but not like, I mean, last week they took the ball away, Paul. And Paul, I always appreciate the phone call. The Eagles haven't taken the ball away like that. When was the last time the Eagles had three picks in a game? It's got to be years ago. I mean, they haven't done that with the turnovers in a very long time. Now, like Tucker mentioned a few minutes ago, that was Sam Darnold. This is Tom Brady tomorrow night. So even if they play well, they're not going to do that. Tom Brady's not throwing three interceptions tomorrow night. I mean, we'll do our FanDuel props later in the show, my favorite props for the game. I'm not going to go the over 2.5 interceptions with Tom Brady route. Going to leave that one alone. I don't think that's coming tomorrow night. So Paul mentioned something. I want to play it for you. So Paul mentioned, you know, whose fault is the penalties and coaching the players, and I said, you know, they're a little different, right? Derek Barnett gets a roughing the passer. I'm not blaming anyone but Derek Barnett. He's just, this is what he does.
That's a Derek Barnett issue.
Yeah, it's a him problem more than, well, it's an us problem because we have to watch it, but he's a dope sometimes. But in terms of the offense and the timing penalties they're getting and the, you know, kind of buttoned up versus not buttoned up penalties they're getting, I blame the coach because he's got to get this stuff down if he's calling the games. So this was Sirianni on Monday, on with Angelo. Angelo asked him, like, what is going on? Like, another pick play, another penalty, another touchdown off the board. Why is this happening? Sirianni's response did bother me a little bit. Here it is.
You know, again, I just have to do a better job of teaching the techniques. I've been teaching the technique that Greg Ward used yesterday for 12 years now in the NFL. And you know, what happened yesterday is the defensive back initiated that contact. And you know what? But that's hard for the referees to see. So Greg's going and he's running around, and you can kind of see the defensive back say, oh, man, I'm beat. I'm going to run into him. And, hey, that again, when you see a collision like that, when a referee – and our job as the receiver is going to be always to avoid the collision and dodge out of the way. We actually – I'll even let you in on what the coaching point is. The coaching point is, hey, you're going to play a game of chicken that you're going to lose. We all know that game, right? And so, yep. Hey, you're coming. You're going to run right at him, and you're going to play a game of chicken that you're going to lose. As soon as you get him to be able to move his feet and come off his course, you jump out of the way. Well, what happened, Greg's on that course to do that. He does a good job, and 26, who's a heck of a player for them, realizes that he's beat and just turned and ran into him. And then when that happens, like, we just got to do a better job of dodging that, and I got to do a better job of teaching that. But a credit to them, because they know the rules, and they initiated the contact and got the offensive pass interference.
So a couple things there. And he tried to take us through what happened there. I've got two complaints for Sirianni on that. Number one, has it crossed his mind that the defender initiated the contact because the defender knew the play was coming? Like, does he realize that? Like, what defensive back in the red zone is going to take a penalty on a whim? No, like, that corner didn't just run into Greg Ward because he was thinking that was coming. He recognized the play, which means there's something wrong with Sirianni's offense, that either there's not enough creativity in the red zone, that they just know the pick play is coming, or there was a tell by the formation, that film study for the Panthers. Like, Matt Rhule's probably telling them, like, they're going to run that down there. Get ready for it. So that's on Sirianni. He's got to come up with a better plan. But the second thing is, like, you have to avoid him if you're Greg Ward in that case. That play, you just have to kind of get in his way. You don't have to let him make the contact. Like, that has to be taught better. It's happening way too often. That's why I criticized Sirianni 2 weeks ago when he said he didn't stop practice to correct penalties. Like, we've got to correct this stuff. If you want to use these concepts, correct it. Now, they keep also getting the penalty with the illegal man down the field. I think that one is a timing issue, because on the RPOs, the offensive line has no idea what's going on behind them. Like, they don't know if Jalen's keeping it, if he's throwing it. They don't know. So they're just doing their thing. They're just blocking. And I think a lot of that's on Jalen Hurts to be better with the timing of the play. But also, isn't that a coaching point? Doesn't he have to hammer into Jalen Hurts? It's an RPO. Our offensive linemen are going down the field to block. If you don't have it within, I don't know what the timing is, a second and a half, you got to get rid of the ball or run. Like, you can't throw it after 2 or 3 seconds. He's not hammering it in their heads enough, because it keeps happening. That's what I think.
Yeah, it's odd, especially on those downfield penalties. Like, it was something the previous quarterback did a lot, right, where he held the ball a lot and tried to make plays that weren't necessarily there. And I wouldn't say Jalen Hurts normally does that, but it's an odd thing for a young quarterback, because he isn't being pressured most of the time, right? Like, normally the reason that he's holding on to the ball is because he has time, and, you know, they've dropped 7 or 8 men in coverage. But at the same point, like, that's a huge point. Like, it's either you get rid of the ball or you run it. There's no hold on to it for 5, 10 seconds and then try and throw it downfield, because it's going to be a loss of down.
Yeah, I almost wonder if they need to, you know, they were trying to deprogram him to being always a running quarterback in the summer. I almost wonder if they have to, like, reprogram him again. RPO, if the throw you see is not there right away, you're a running back. You get to run. Like, just get out of the pocket and go. You're not allowed to throw it anymore, because we're going to get that flag for the offensive line down the field. 215-592-9494. Ahmad is in West Philly talking Jalen Hurts. What's up, Ahmad?
What's up, Joe? How you doing?
Good, Ahmad. What are you thinking?
Hey, man, listen. Sirianni, you know, he reminds me of my woman a little bit. You know, just can never answer direct questions. You know, you got to hear a whole seminar before you get a little bit of your question answered. Like, Jesus Christ. But anyway, listen. You know, I'm tired of hearing the complaining. You take Jalen legs away, and they don't win that game. You know, you don't beat Carolina without his legs.
Totally. Yeah, I mean, the two plays, and even, Ahmad, I'll even throw the two-point conversion, which pushed the lead to 3. His legs made that play. I mean, that pressure was right on him, and then he ran around and threw the ball to Devontae.
Yeah, I'm not getting it. Like, you know, with him, you know, I see improvement with Jalen every week. Every time he plays, I see improvement, you know. You see results. Now he's going to make mistakes. He's a rookie. Like, Jesus Christ, give him a chance. You know, let him make mistakes, you know. Like, you know, we got to be, you know, let him be comfortable in making his mistakes. You know, we hammer him every time he overthrows. And, you know, like, you know, you got him dropping back 50 times, you know, you can't protect him that way. You know, you got him running for his life all the time. The fact that they don't run the ball, and I don't get that part of it. Like, you know, if you want to protect them, run the ball. Just run it. You know, give it to somebody, but, you know, y'all dropping back. You know, he's throwing the ball 50, 60 times. They running 15. Like, you know, I think, you know, you put him in so much danger. You know, he got good legs, but, you know, it's going to be that one game where somebody's going to get him, you know? Like,
of course, yeah.
You know, he's not going to see it coming. And, like, my question to you, Joe, listen, you know, when what's our old quarterback? Oh, Lord.
Carson.
When Doug was coaching.
Right.
And they was doing a lot of throwing. It's like they're doing the same thing. Now, at this point, I'm thinking that, you know, somebody – Howie calling the shots because they doing the same thing, just different people. They doing. Why aren't they running the ball?
I think you're right that there's. I'll put it this way: I'm out of I think there's like an organizational philosophy that they want to throw the ball. I mean, this has been Jeff Lurie's whole thing. I mean, they hired Andy Reid in a league in 1999. Throwing 60 and only running 40 was considered like craziness. Like that was crazy. And whatever, maybe it was closer to 55-45, but it was crazy. So I do think this is what the Eagles want to be and where the league is going, but it's okay to sprinkle a run in here and there. It's not you're not going to melt if you run the football. What to watch for here, sponsored by Xfinity. Xfinity, the fast internet in Philadelphia, and the sponsor of our Xfinity X1 Lounge. Well, I'm watching. You know what I'm watching tomorrow night? The penalties. We know the Eagles have been too penalized, and they got to cut that out. You know who is near the top of the league in penalties? The Bucks. The Bucks also get a lot of penalties. That could not actually turn out to be a major disadvantage tomorrow night. It could be closer to even. The Bucks, I think, are one of three teams, along with the Eagles, that have 40-plus penalties assessed on them so far this season. So they also are pretty undisciplined when it comes to penalties. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in. Are we too critical of every throw, every decision, every down of Jalen Hurts? I believe we are. And are you with me? The Eagles have a chance to win this game and upset the Bucks tomorrow night. I think they do. Tucker thinks I'm crazy. Where are you on the game tomorrow night? 215-592-9494. We'll come back. What did Tom Brady have to say about the Eagles? He gave his assessment yesterday. We'll hear from Tom Brady coming up and your phone calls on Sports Radio 94 WIP. NFL Week 6 is here, and FanDuel Sportsbook, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, wants you to get the most out of every play. That's why they're giving everyone a $10 risk-free bet every week. Thursday night is a great opportunity to give it a try. All you have to do is bet a same game parlay bet with three legs or more. And if your bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you back up to $10. Look, there's a lot of great ones that I love for this weekend. Let's start here. I'm a big fan of this game out in Cleveland. Arizona, last undefeated team against Cleveland on Sunday. I like the home team. I will take the home team to win. Cleveland to win to knock off the undefeated Arizona team. I like Chubb to go over his rushing yard total. I like Kyler Murray to go under his pass yard total. And the game to go under on Sunday. Look, FanDuel is incredible. It's fast, easy payouts. It's safe and secure, which is so important. And it's America's number one sports book, so there's trust there. And FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94WIP. There's no feeling like nailing a same-game parlay bet. So lock in your bet today on FanDuel Sportsbook and get up to $10 back if your bet doesn't win. New to FanDuel Sportsbook? Sign up today with promo code Jillio to also receive 30-1 enhanced odds on the Thursday night matchup. Win $150 on a $5 bet. That's promo code GIGLIO, so they know I sent you.